Amen. Good to see you this morning. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn with me to Psalm chapter number 59. Psalm chapter number 59. While you're turning there, we just want to remind you about this coming weekend. As Steve mentioned to us, Saturday, the harvest party we'll be having. Hope you can come and join us. It's always a wonderful time. It's a wonderful time to not only fellowship with believers, but we have some fun activities that we do. It's fun dressing up and as a Bible character, and we just have a great time together. And I hope that you'll plan on joining us. This will be Saturday at 5 p.m. Our college and career group, they sponsor this, like to put this on, and we like to be a part of it. Psalm 59, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1, Psalm chapter 59 and verse 1. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity, and save me from bloodthirsty men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold, thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors, Selah. That would be to pause and meditatively think upon what we read. Verse 6, and they return at evening, they make a noise, they growl like a dog, and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth, swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear? But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath, consume them, that they may not be, and let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth, Selah. And at evening, let them return, and let them make a noise like a dog and go around about the city. Let them wander up and down for food and grudge if they be not satisfied. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity, this Lord's Day that you give to us to come for the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God in this place. Father, we're grateful for every man, woman, and young person who has come out today to worship thee. Father, I pray that in these next few moments that you might speak to our hearts from your Word. We pray that you might receive honor and glory, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up, and that the Holy Spirit of God would have liberty to do whatever needs to be done in every heart and life. May our minds and our hearts be open and receptive to what you have for us today. And I pray, as always, that if there be one or more here that has never, ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, been born again, born from above, Father, that this might be the hour, the very time, that they would recognize they are a sinner in need of a Savior, and that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay their sins' debt. Father, I pray for each of us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, each one, that you would speak to our heart this morning, and that the wonderful words of life that go forth from the Word of God would speak to and encourage each one that's here. And may we grab a hold as the truth of God's Word grabs a hold of us. And might you speak to us and challenge us this day. Fill us with Holy Spirit power. Fill me today with your Spirit power, God. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse number 16 and 17. We've been looking at some selected psalms going through some of these, and there's two verses this morning that we'd like to direct your attention to, verses 16 and 17, Psalm 59. David says, "But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy." You know, David had endured many trials throughout his life. We have read some of these already as we're looking through the Psalms. And one of the trials that we note here in Psalm 59, this psalm is written in accordance with a trial that David had faced. I'd like you to take your Bible, if you would, and turn back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 19. I want you to see this. I'm not making this up. I want you to see it for yourself. I want you to see God's Word, what God has to say here. And David, as he endured many trials, he endures one here in regard to his father-in-law. And, you know, I'm grateful for my father-in-law that he has never sought to take my life. Amen? I'm grateful for my mother-in-law. She has never sought to poison the food that she feeds me. They're wonderful folks. We appreciate them. We love them in the Lord. Well, here in 1 Samuel chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, "And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeks to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself unto the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out," 1 Samuel chapter 19, "I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee word very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it and did rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, As the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence, as in times past. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines, and slew them, and a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. David played with his hand," played music. David, remember, musician, harp, so forth. "And Saul sought to smite him, to pin David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night." You know, the Psalms that we've already looked at, we see David. We see David, king of Israel. We see David, man after God's own heart. God is using him. But in the process of time, we also see David, there's many enemies, nations and individual peoples that come after him to take his life. And in this case, 1 Samuel chapter 19, we see Saul, his father-in-law, comes to kill David. In fact, there's a picture there where Saul has this evil spirit upon him. And literally, with the javelin in his hand, he wanted to throw that javelin through David into the wall and pin him, the Bible says, pin him, the deceased David, to the wall. Of course, David leaves, David escapes, and Saul still throws that javelin, sticking it into the wall. He's really grieved. He's after David. And so, though David was Saul's son-in-law, Saul now sends men to go and kill him, and they go after him. In fact, if we continued reading in our account, we would see how Saul sent men to David's house, and David escapes, and his wife Michal puts a kind of an image, a statue or a bust in the bed, puts goat hair on it, makes people think that it's David, but it's really not, so David had time to escape. And so we see this in the life of David, his father-in-law coming after him, individuals seeking his life. And the thought occurred to me as I'm going through the book of Psalms, we all pass through various trials and afflictions. Amen? We all pass through various trials and afflictions. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we're going to have some amen time here. Because, you know, I had to pull this out in the first. It got so bad in the first service, I had to tip it upside down. And they were pronouncing in any way what they could. But David, as he has all these individuals come after him, and as he even has his father-in-law come after him, he had his time, certainly, of trial and affliction. We also have ours. Now, it may not be that somebody's coming to take your life, but we still face our amount of afflictions. We face our amount of trials. We face our amount of tragedies. And there may even be some here today that you just feel like in the midst of all of this, what's the point? What's the use? In the midst of all of it, just giving up. And yet the Bible says, as the Bible's written from God for you and me for today, the Bible would encourage us as children of God, don't give up, but look up. Amen? Don't give up, but look up. The Bible would encourage us, stop trembling and start trusting. And so that's the type of God we have. That's the encouragement that we receive. And I believe in the midst of this, David has an expectation of his song to return. Look at, again, back in Psalm chapter 59, verse 16, David said, "But I will sing of the power of thy power." There it is. There's the contrasting term. All this stuff David talks about in Psalm 59, people after his life, people growling like a dog, people coming after him. This psalm written as if when Saul sent and individuals to go after David to kill him, all this going through David's mind. And in the midst of this, David says, but in spite of all that that's going on, in spite of all those who, he said, let them wander, Lord, for their food. Let them howl if they're not satisfied. In spite of all that grieving going on, David says, but I will sing of thy power. And so there's an expectation here that we have in verses 16 and 17. And that makes for our first point we share with you. The theme of the message this morning is simply this: when the song returns. When the song returns. Point number one, David expected to sing of God's power. He expected to sing of God's power. You know, God's power is greater than our problems. God's power is greater than our problems. That's a good place for an amen. God is stronger than our adversaries. You know, we mentioned to you last time we were together, we have an adversary. We have the chief adversary. We have an adversary and his minions. And guess what? He does not let up. Especially if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God that's seeking to do something for God. Especially if you've gotten to that place in your life and you say, God, my life counts for you. I want to be used by you. I want you to work through me. God, I want to bring honor and glory to your name. Well, then you face some of the trial and some of the affliction and some of the tragedy that comes into life because you have an adversary that certainly does not want you to be serving God the way God would have you to. He does not want you to be learning the Word of God the way God would have you to. He does not want you being witnessing for God the way God would have you to. So you have that adversary. David had it, and David said, I will sing of thy power, recognizing God's power is greater than his problems, recognizing that God is stronger than all the adversaries he could name. And by the way, this truth also has to be interjected. Same thing with David, same thing with us today. People are not our enemy. People are not our problem. The devil is our enemy, and the devil is the problem. Now, he uses people, right? He uses people to discourage us. He uses people to be problematic. But the Bible teaches us here that God is greater than any one of the problems we could ever experience. God is stronger than all our adversaries. And the fact is that we can rest on the power of God on a daily basis to deliver us from whatever and what through ever is attacking us. Amen. And that's the Word of God. And you have to understand this as a child of God. And you have to plant your feet on that foundation. When the next thing comes down in your life, you have to know that God is stronger. When the next thing that afflicts you come into your life, you need to understand the power of God over these problems. When the next thing comes along to afflict you, you need to know that God is able to deliver you. That is how you see yourself through with the help of Almighty God. getting into His Word and letting God's Word get into you. So David said, first of all, I will sing of thy power. Second, David could remember powerful deliverances in the past. Take your Bible and go back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Again, I want you to see this because it's very important. This is God's Word from Him for you right now. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning in verse 32, when David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Now, this Philistine was the Goliath of Gath, some 9 feet tall, better than 9 feet tall, head and shoulders above everybody there. And notice what the Bible says in verse 33. Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." In other words, Saul says to him, "You're not experienced at fighting. You are just a youth, and this is a man of war from his youth. He's been experienced in fighting. He's experienced with the equipment of fighting. He's experienced with hand-to-hand combat. He's experienced of standing up to another mighty army. David, you're not. You're not." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and I smote him," verse number 35, "I struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." You know what I like about this? David speaks as one who recognizes the power of God, trusts in the power of God, and David has the expectation from God that God is going to see him through and God is going to deliver him. Amen? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if every day when our feet hit the floor, David waking up in the morning, his sandals hitting the dirt, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing when our feet hit the floor, we could just get along with God and say, "God, I thank you that there'll be nothing that'll occur today, nothing that'll come into my life today, but that you don't already know what it is and that you don't already have a plan for me to be able to overcome what I'm going to be facing this morning and this day." Boy, I like this. David could remember powerful deliverances in the past. Memory enables us to draw on God's faithfulness in the past. Now, I'm not saying that we go back and we live in the past and we camp ourselves. We can't. We are in this present time living for God, serving God. But what we can do is be reminded when we're coming up against trial, affliction, or tragedy that the same God who delivered me in the past is more than able to be able to deliver me in the present. And it's the same God who delivers me in the present has got a glorious future ahead of me. And let God work that into your heart. Let God touch the recess of your soul with that fact. See, David expected to sing of God's power. David said, "I'll sing of thy power." David remembered powerful deliverances in the past. Number three, faith enables us to expect God to come through. Are you a people of faith? Say amen. Amen. If you trusted God as your personal Savior, you trusted Jesus Christ, then you are on that walk of faith. You are a personal faith. And I believe that if we can have enough faith to trust God for the future, we certainly can have that faith and more to trust God for the present. In fact, I like what the psalmist wrote. The psalmist said in Psalm 37, 25, "I have been young and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread." Amen? I like that. We all been there, done that. I have been young and now I am old. I have been young and now I'm getting older. Whatever the case may be. But the psalmist goes on to say that yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. Why not? Because God does not forsake the righteous. God takes care of his own. God cares about his own. So the psalmist said, yet not I have seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. That's not what God has in store and plan for you and I as a child of God. Number one, David expected to sing of God's power. Number two, David expected to sing of God's mercy. If you look back again at Psalm 59, verse 16, David said, "But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy." Somebody once wrote, quote, "The greater our present trials, the louder our future songs, and the more intense our future gratitude will be." That's a great saying. The greater our present trials, the louder our future songs, and the more intense our future gratitude will be. Where did that come from? David said, "I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy." You know, God has been merciful to us all, has he not? Amen. Every single day, his mercies are like new and fresh every morning. The thought comes to me there is, number one, the cross of Christ announces the mercy of God to all. The cross of Christ announces the mercy of God to all. Remember what Titus wrote? Titus in chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost." Now, there's two very important words there, probably the most important in your vocabulary as a child of God. Those two words in Titus 3, 5 is the word "not" and the term "but." Not and but. Titus said, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but," contrast, "according to his mercy, he saved us, washed by the regeneration, renewing the Holy Spirit." So these two words, most important in our vocabulary this morning, we could say, "Not me, but him." We can stand before you this morning and say, "Not my sin, but his righteousness." We can stand before you this morning and say, "Not about my misgivings, but about his forgiving." Amen? Those two words. You know, if you would sometime take out a sheet of paper and write "not, dot, 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 but, dot, dot, dot," and you would see before long, my list was long. Not me, but him. Not about me and my sin, but about his righteousness. Not about my misgiving, but about his forgiving. Not about my lust, but about his love. And we could go on and on and on of those very two very important words for you and me as a child of God. So God has been merciful to us all, and the cross announces the mercy of God. Number two, the mercy of God ought to challenge us to live for him and to serve him. The verse Steve shared with us this morning was in your bulletin last week, the memory verse, Romans 12, 1. There it is. The Bible says to us, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service," or which is your logical service. So we look at that verse, we see a couple of things. Number one, this is a call to total commitment and permanent presentation. And that's on our part. God has saved us. God has sent his son to redeem us. And now we have opportunity to live for him. It's a call to be committed to him. And it's a call to have a permanent presentation. Our lives as a Christian, they're not to be roller coaster rides. Amen? You know what? Truth be told, I get sick on a roller coaster. Amen? I just do. I mean, I'm walking through an amusement park. I look at a roller coaster and my body goes, I just get sick on the. I was never the roller coaster person or the ride person. We'd go to the amusement park when I was younger, when I was a teen. A church I belonged to several years ago, we used to take the teens and go to the amusement park and take them on group activities and so forth. And they'd always say, Pastor Bob, will you ride the roller coaster with me?" And I'd say, no. But my wife will." And Connie'd sit right in the front with those people, and I'd be on the rail, and the whole time I got my eyes closed. I can't even look at it. And then all of a sudden I hear this coming down the hill, boom, and I close my eyes again. You know, because it just make me, oh, So I used to fill my pocket with quarters, and I'd hang out in the arcade all day, you know, play the games and the skee ball and the basketball shoot and all that kind of thing. And so it's very interesting here, but we are to commit ourselves, totally commit ourselves to permanent presentation, not up and down and all about, but just going forward and going on for the Lord. Number two, you know this, that our bodies were the instruments of sin. But the Bible says they are to be presented to God now as the channel through which the righteousness of God is made known unto all. We are to yield ourselves unto God. We are to give ourselves. Remember, Corinthian letter said, you are not your own. You have been bought with a price, that precious blood of Jesus Christ. And because you are not your own, and because you've been bought with a price, you and I are to live in such a way that brings honor and glory to God. This is what David said. He said, I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy. The psalmist wrote, boy, your mercies are new and fresh every morning. It's the opportunity to thank God and praise Him for all that He's doing in our lives. How important is that? And David also expected the protection of God to arrive. Did you see in that verse, I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy. And then the Bible says, in the morning. David expected the protection of God to arrive in time. You know, for all of us, I mean, usually our morning is what starts off our day. We wake up in the morning and, you know, granted, I know some people get up before sunrise. I know several people who have never even seen a sunrise in their life. Their morning starts at noon. Well, that's okay if that's their schedule. But when David, again, when his sandals hit the dirt in the morning, David expected the protection of God to arrive. He believed that God would protect him. In verse 16, he said, for thou hast been my defense, my protection. Same for us. Same God David had, we have today. We trust Him for His protection, our defense in the onslaughts of sin. Bible says here in the same verse, David said, I'll trust you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. He trusted God to hide him from his enemies. My refuge, my hiding place. David said, called him my strong and mighty tower. Same for us. He is our refuge from our enemies, the chief adversary, the chief enemy of your soul who would be dogging you and his minions seeking to trip you up. Our adversary, the devil. The devil does not have angels. He has what? What are they called? Demons. Demons. The very devil, the very demons of hell out to dog your path. They can't do anything about your soul. You're signed, sealed, and delivered before the Lord. But boy, they can try to make your life terrible. Try to draw you away from what God has for you, His plan and purpose for your life. And if you've ever felt the tug away, you know what I'm talking about. Number three, David not only expected to sing of the power of God, not only expected to sing of God's mercy, but number three, David said, verse 17, unto thee, O my strength, I will sing. For God is my defense, the God of my mercy. David expected God to give him strength. And every day, this is something we lay claim to. Every day, you and I as a Christian, as a child of God, we need the strength of God to get on with our day. Every day. And for the person that says, I need not the strength of God, I can do it on my own, I feel sad for you, because you can't do it on your own. The devil has got you duped, and you need to leave the duping and the deceiving alone, the deception alone, and get back on your knees and your face before God and say, God, I need your power, I need your mercy, I need your strength. Amen. That's the only way you'll see life through. You know, Christians come and say, Pastor, I don't know what happened. This, and many times, if a person talks long enough, they'll ultimately come to the point and they say, well, I really didn't trust him like I should have. Point. Problem. All right? So David expected God to give him strength. Now here is confidence in God's protection. Confidence. Here I'll sing of your strength, God, for God is my defense. Here is confidence in God's protection. Question, how confident are you? Same God. Same issues. Same circumstances that you face. But how confident are you in the protection of God? Second follow-up question to that. David said, I will sing of your power and mercy. Unto thee, O God, my strength, will I sing. Second question, do you sing? Do you sing about the power and the mercy and the strength of God? See, this is what we're talking. We're talking about when we get to the point, we go through things in life and we feel so beat down, or we feel like, you know what, us, zero, and the devil, 20. You know, and we just feel like he's just pushing on us and hammering on us, our adversary, the circumstances of life, the trials, tragedies, everything that goes on happens for us too. And we look at the scoreboard and we feel so beat down. David did. But David said, in my God will I trust. And David's song returns. See, he was a musician, played a harp. He sang. 19, we looked at that passage. David was playing with his hands the instrument, the song. And I suppose that if you run into enough problem, and I suppose if you run into enough hardship, and I suppose if there are enough people after your head, as was with David, you begin to lose the song. You begin to lose the joy. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God has provided a way for you and me to have the song revived in our soul. But my question, here's the confidence of God's protection. Here is a man, David, convinced of God's deliverance. In my defense, the God of my mercy. David, confident in the deliverance of God. How convinced, how confident are you that God is able to deliver? The Bible says from cover to cover, deliverance is of the Lord. But how convinced are you when that situation plagues you? When that meeting you have in the future just takes over you? How convinced are you that God is your deliverer? Question number two, do you sing? Do you sing? You see, what I'm saying is, we wrap up, confidence in God's power, mercy, and strength brings a song. And by the way, beloved, faith always brings a song before deliverance. Now, before you sit here, there may be somebody say, well, preacher, that's Psalms and that's Old Testament. And you know, I'm just not really an Old Testament person. Well, you need to be an Old Testament person. You need to be a New Testament person. You need to be a whole Bible person. Amen? Cover to cover, having God's Word take effect in your life. But somebody here that the Old Testament sometime that pushes you a different way, I want to give you a passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, two verses, 57 and 58. Our living Lord Jesus will make our song return. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, I want to tell you, based on this verse and many, many others, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to make our song return. Again, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. Do you know that that's the victor's song? And through Jesus Christ, we have the experience of the victor's song on a daily basis. If we will lay claim to it and say, God, work your victory in and through me in that trial, God, work your victory. In that tragedy, God, work your victory. In that affliction, God, work your victory. God, in the circumstance, work your victory. Whatever it is that you find at this present time on your plate before God, God is able, through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to get you up off your face and to get you to begin to sing the victor song. Amen. Now you might say, but preacher, I'm really not a good singer. I will drive people away rather than make people come. I'm not a good singer. You know, well, God says something for you that you feel like you're not a good singer. God says in the Word that you and I are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen? So it doesn't matter if you can hold a note or not. I said one time, I sing tenor, 10 or 12 keys off all the time, right? You know that. But God can restore the song that you once had. First, my first experience of the song is when I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. My sin was forgiven, heaven was my home, and God put a new song in my heart and in my mouth. And I would be lying to you if I said to you that everything has been flower petals in my path ever since. That's not true. The Bible says that the clouds come upon the clouds, the rain fall on the just as well as the unjust, on the righteous as well as the lost, the wicked, right? And so when those times come that our path gets cloudy, the sun hides itself, the blue sky is no longer, and we are now going through the clouds of affliction and tribulation, can you still sing the song? And can you still claim victory that you have in Jesus Christ? That victory is there. It's yours for the taking. If you will but look and live before the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be triumphant in trials. Preacher, how do you know? How do you know, based on the Word of God, that we can always be triumphant in whatever trials allow to come our way? I know it because of three things. Number one, I know I can be victorious because God is alive. I know I can be victorious because Jesus is coming again, and I know I can be victorious because the Holy Spirit of God is still teaching me to sing. And the same reason that you know you can be victorious, what we have to do is stop looking around and looking down and get looking up. What we need to do is forget about the problems. When those problems come, immediately take them to the problem solver. Give them over to God. We need to let Him have control of our lives. Amen. You want the problem? You want the affliction? You want the heartache? Leave Him out. But as a child of God, you want to see something grand and glorious done in your life through Christ, then you include Him on every decision that comes before you. You include Him in everything that comes by in your life. Sometimes people say, well, everything's going so good, I really don't rely on Him. Yeah, and you know what happens when everything's going so good and you don't rely on God? All of a sudden, everything goes bad. You know it to be true, and so do I. Experientially, we've been there, done that. Wouldn't it just be better for us to just claim the song? You know, I love in the account in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, when God is leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, and when God, they come before the ocean, and God parts that sea, the Red Sea, that body of water, not that Red Sea, and they go across that big, large body of water, and that the walls are stacked up as they're going across, and they come across on dry land, and then when the Egyptians come in to follow, God releases those walls, and they wash back in, and the Egyptians are saved, not a one. But you know what I like about that account? Is after they get to the other side, Miriam and some of the others and other leaders, they sing a song of victory. When's the last time God has given you victory over something? Did you sing the song? Why not? Well, I can't really sing. Then noise it. But let God know that you appreciate when victory comes in your life. You remember the chorus? No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. Beloved, you know it. You know it. How about applying it? That's the message we have from the psalm. Sing it. Live it. And let God rule and reign supreme in your life. You're his child. I'm his child. Newsflash, God loves his children. And wants to work on their behalf. Won't you let him? Let God bring back the song. The song that you used to sing. That you've gotten away from singing. Claim it. Take it back. Power, mercy, strength is yours for the taking if you but sing the song. Let's bow our heads for prayer together.